I know a lot of you probably heard the word privy just mentioned right there, and you probably have no idea what that is. Some of you might, because if you follow me on Instagram, that's great. And thank you so much for that support. But a privy is your old outhouse. This is what you had behind your house back in the day. This is where you didn't have trash pickup in before World War I. You had to throw all of your household trash somewhere. So what better place than a giant hole you have in your backyard? Some people still do this, don't do that, but we know. So during the pandemic, I am relatively new to this. I decided to go out and start digging holes. I didn't like baking bread, it was not for me. So here I am, normally not wearing clothes that have sleeves or anything like that, normally just covered in dirt. So this is a new look for me. If you guys like the jacket, let me know. I'll talk to you later about that. but anyway, so during my research and my hunts, I've come across many interesting artifacts, some of them venereal diseases, syringes, personal items, lots of porcelain. But one artifact stood out a lot to me over these years. And this was actually one that I found at a lot in northern Fells Point. Now, one of my developer friends, who's a small developer, not like the big guys on the screen up here, but if you do have a big company, call me later. They called me, they're demoing this house, and they know the importance of saving the history here in Baltimore. Because oftentimes when places are demoed, they just scoop everything out, it goes in a dumpster, and it's hauled off. And I think it's important to save everything that we can along the way without costing developers time and money, because we go in there, we do it for free. And one of the items we found was while we were screening, there's a lot of fill dirt, so you're going through it, you find small things, sometimes dice, a lot of teeth. I have a collection of teeth in my jar. I probably have like over 500 right about now. They're not human teeth, maybe one or two of them are, but most of them are animal teeth. Anyway, the artifact in question was this small metal band. It was rusted over, so I knew it wasn't gold. Automatically, I was like, well, all right, cool, we got a piece of metal here, it's something, don't know what. I decided to go home and clean it up, take my time with it, a little brush, kind of like archaeology, but not. And if you guys know me, you know what that shot's at. but anyway, so I cleaned it up, and it turned out to be, it looked like gold. And I was like, oh, well, what is this? So I decided to take a ride up to Timonium, go to Smythe Jewelers, had them test it. And they have this really cool thing that looks like a phaser from Star Trek or something, and you point it at the metal, and it tells you exactly the composition of it. It was 83% copper, 17% zinc. Now, I could have just left with that. That basically means that it's brass. Brass isn't all that interesting. But me, I love researching. I used online resources from Enoch Pratt, Afro newspaper. You guys, shout out to you. Love your newspaper and your archives that you all have. It's a godsend. And I came across a book basically on alchemy from back during the 1700s. As we all know, alchemy is not really a thing, but back then they believed in anything. They believed that mercury could also cure syphilis back then. So, little footnote, it did not. But this item was a particular kind of metal called pinchbeck. Pinchbeck was invented during the early 1700s and was used by clock makers and coach builders. So keep that in the back of your mind right now, a little bit. And as I started researching, I wanted to look at the property itself. So I took it back from 2022, when we actually excavated the hole, all the way back to when the property was first sold in 1801 by doing a deed search through the Maryland State Archives. And I was able to identify the person I originally sold this parcel of property, Robert Walsh, in 1801, to a man named Septimus Tustin. So now I have a name for the owner of this piece of land from back then. Septimus, I could use this information to kind of go through this Baltimore City directories back then. Then I went through about 1802 was the first one that I could find online. And Septimus Tustin was listed as a, well, you guys won't guess this, but this guy gets it right here. He knows exactly what's up. I like your suit, by the way. Team blue. So clock builder and or clockmaker and coach builder. Now that's important for one of multiple reasons here. Septimus worked with this type of metal pinchbeck often, all the time. That was just his way of life. Pinchbeck was a fool's gold. It was something that if you didn't want it to be stolen, you would just put it on the outside of your coach, you weren't going to worry about it, someone could take it, who cared? It was brass. But Septimus was very familiar with this piece of metal. So I took his name, I had some information about him, and I started searching even more, because I don't just like finding the high-level stuff. I want to keep digging deeper, no pun intended. And upon doing this, I actually came across his marriage certificate. He got married to Elizabeth Paul in 1791. Now, this is important because the type of ring, the details on the ring, that was hand-hammered. It's not something that you would just see milled. By 1750, every ring that you see produced was actually milled. And so it would have been nice and smooth, look like the rings that y'all are wearing tonight. I'm not. No, I'm just kidding. anyway, so this was a very particular type of metal. It was made by him, so it was clearly handmade. It had the little hammer marks on it, and that was really neat. So I have all this information. I can look at everything. Now, what else can I, you know, find out about this? This ring was only a certain size. It was for a woman's hand. I mean, I know I had big hands, but this was like a very, very small ring. And I did not want to, you know, just clean it up and let it sit in a box or anything like that. I decided to actually take this ring and turn it into a necklace. And this ring has now traveled with me around the world. It's actually one I'm wearing right now tonight. And so this is a piece from his life that I wanted to continue to live on and tell a story. And that's kind of what I found important about my work. It's to make history relatable to everyone, to not just give it to place it in museums. I've donated a ton of things to BMI, but there are certain artifacts I want to have that story continue to live on, people to talk about it, because oftentimes people's history and their past is just forgotten. It just goes into a box in an archive somewhere, and that's not what I wanted to do. So I created the Salvage Arc Instagram account, started publishing all this information, and then next thing you know, I've got kids that are asking, inner city kids especially, asking about how can they do this in their backyard. If you have a backyard here in Baltimore and you live below, basically, North Avenue, you have a Pruvi in it. And if you do, or if you're a property owner or developer, if I saw your name on that board, I want a phone call from you, because we will come dig it and make sure that the history there is not destroyed, continues to live on, and again, it's free of charge, but we want to give back to the community here in Baltimore. Thank you.